Y'all know what it is.
Y'all know what it is.
C-O-O-L-I-O, the underdog.
Underdog.
Infamous.
Infamous.
And you are now tuned in to Talking with OC. Y'all know what it do.
Y'all know what it do.
I be drinking my Henny, sparking this OG. Game chopping up plenty, talking with OC. I be drinking my Henny, sparking this OG. Game chopping up plenty, talking with OC. Turn it up to your speakers, tuning in like tweakers. Turn them all into geekers. Get your feet up, take off your sneakers. We gang talking with OC. From the Crest Side to the O3. Got a mile pass for this podcast. You ain't gotta ask if you know me. It's all free. Just listen. That trill talk you've been missing. Get the daily scoop with that whoopie whoop. These snakes in the industry hissing. But it ain't all talk. Good music, no small talk. On the Crest is the one of the best coming out of the West when you talking that blog talk. Yeah. I've been drinking my Henny, sparking this OG. Gang chopping up plenty. Talking with OC. I be drinking my Henny, sparking this OG. Game chopping up plenty. Talking with OC. OC. Straight like that. Y'all know what it is. Tune in. 5 p.m., 7 p.m. Catch them evenings. Dipping through the traffic. Tune in. Talking with OC. And you know who I am. C-O-O-L-I-O. Underdog. Sam, I am. You know.
So it says we live right now. We're live right now. Talking with OC. I'm your host, OC, and I got Seth in the house. She makes women's basketball and women's sports. She talks about that and we're gonna talk about, have a conversation, talk about what we talk about. So what I was asking was, what brought you to this space?
Listen, I've been going back and forth. I don't know what really brought me to this space. I think I finally just got my confidence up to do it. It's been, sometimes I hear stuff on TV or in the news or somebody else saying something, be like, I need to go live and say this, but I'll never hit the button. Or you know, just wanted to be able to have my voice out there. Like, I think that the pandemic, I think seeing all of the different stuff that people was able to do in the pandemic, just like how the creative space really kind of got going, gave me a lot of drive. Like, seeing you, like I said, you've been doing this since almost like 19, you know, just seeing how you were able to grow. You went from like, hey, I'm talking with OC, that I got merch, to I'm on Spotify, to I'm everywhere. So just like, wow, okay, it's not something that you know, you gotta be from a certain group or, you know, something easy to kind of start up, and everybody got a voice. So it's just like, put it out there and then you kind of find your tribe. So, and I'm finding it kind of fun. Like, I didn't think that people would start interacting as much as they are, but they jump in the chat and it's like, okay, go. I'm thinking, I go live for about 10 minutes and I look up and it's, you know, it's 2 hours and I'm trying to cut it off. Like, Still questions coming. So just want to get my voice out there, get my opinion out there.
Now do you you saying you still looking for your lane is what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm still kind of finding my lane. I started off kind of just talking Warriors because I'm a Dubs fan.
How's that working out for you this season?
How's it working out for me this season? Listen, I'm a ride or die. I'm a ride or die. So I feel like we got to make a move. I'm so loyal. I don't know who to let go of, right? So, you know, I stick it out with us. Draymond, he get us in trouble, but he get us out of trouble. So, you know, I take it. I'm not jumping off the train with them boys. I think a lot of talent there. And then I've been watching Lamar since Louisville. So, you know, we on the way to the Bay. You know, I mean, my Detroit Lions is on the way to the Bay. So, you know, so much going on. And then, you know, just women's basketball, it's just a great time in women's sports to see kind of like where women's sports has come from 96 with like the Olympics and the women's hoop team that was in that Olympics. And I think it was the soccer team, like Mia Hamm and them, to see like, you know, all these years later, you know, where the WNBA is at, you know, for last night's game to be a national, you know, game, a big deal. A lot of people tuned in, you know, bought College Game Day out. Dawn Staley is doing a lot with women's basketball, but just women's sports, period. It's just a good time. It's on an upward trajectory. And I just want to bring a kind of put a spotlight on it. to some of the players that just, you know, you don't get a chance to hear about because there's just so many good players in women's sports right now. So
I seen her on The Pivot, that podcast called The Pivot. Don Staley. I've heard of her. I looked at some of her highlights. I went back and seen where she came from, and I was amazed that you got this young lady with this basketball, and she could do whatever she wants to with this basketball, and then for her to coach and have the record she has, it's unbelievable. I like women's sports. I used to go to, believe it or not, I used to go to Monarchs games with my daughter. I used to take my daughter to
I saw some Monarchs games. Yo Griffith and them was putting it down. I got a chance to see Cheryl and them in the building when the Comets were still around. Your daughter plays sports too, right?
Yeah, she didn't play. And this is where I get into trouble. And when I say this, she didn't play traditional sports. She did she did track and field in high school, and she also did competition cheer.
Them is real sports right there. You don't get in trouble right there. Track is the true. That's one of the truest sports. Like, let's race. Yeah. Back up. Let's go. You don't need no training or nothing. You find that out. So yeah, I get it.
I don't think she ran. I think she did the shot put, and I think she did something else she did because but I wasn't able to attend those, but what I was able to attend was the competition cheer cheer that they did, and it was just magnificent the way she ran her team. She was a base, and it was wonderful to see it.
It's a lot of hard work go into that. Right? Yeah. It's a lot of hard work into the cheer. People don't realize to be the base and everybody depending on you. If you mess up, everything goes tumbling down. So yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
definitely a sport, but overlooked sometimes as a sport. So
yeah, she convinced me that it was a sport. I was saying
you had to be convinced.
her and her sister used to cheer for her brother's league. They used to play football. You know, the little little league they used to play football, and so we used to be together on Saturdays. And her cousins, her two cousins played football, and we used to all be together. And so her mother was the cheer coordinator and the cheer coach. And so she got a chance to do that at a young age. And so when she took it to high school, we was all over this country touring, doing all kind of stuff over this. I was watching her do all kind of stuff. And that made me proud because she became a leader. You know what I'm saying? She went from this kid that was closed up a little bit to shy to this outgoing kid that can bark out a some type of set that they got. And
it's amazing.
It's
amazing the way team sports can have that effect on you. That's dope.
That's what I love about women's sports. Sports period. What it transformed people into. On that level, but when you get to that level, and so she did that. She did a lot of that stuff, and that's what really made me start liking and looking around at women's basketball, looking at just women's sports period. I always liked track and field. That's something that was in us since Vallejo High.
Right. I mean, you know, coming out of Corpus, you got so much track, so many fast stars there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard not to love track coming out of Vallejo. Coach Wilson for sure had a team every year. So
every year. So you couldn't help but see them and know the news about everybody. Tiffany, what was her name? Tiffany Jackson.
Yeah.
And Ali Evans.
You see Ali run a 10-1 and you like, is he going to the Olympics? You know, somebody like a Tanya Lazarli come through there, and it's like, what's going on here? I mean, I don't know. It might be just something about that soil in the 707, but just so much talent. I don't know if it was just during the time that I was there in the 90s. I don't know how.
Mm-hmm.
They're not Apaches no more. The Red Hawks. I don't know how the Red Hawks are doing.
Yeah, yeah. There'll never be another us. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I mean? So I don't know. That 92 to 96 run was something else.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, it'll be them, but it'll never be us. It'll be
exactly,
them.
exactly. I love it.
No, I like your spirit. I like how you deliver what you deliver. And in this space, it's room for everybody to do what it is that they do. Pick a lane, because there's so many different categories that you can go in, that you can fit in, that you can be in, and it don't discriminate.
No, it don't. I'm tripping last night. I'm on the live in the middle of the game, and somebody like, "Hey, I'm here from the UK," and I'm like, "What?" You know what I mean? Like, you know, how does that happen? You know what I mean? So yeah. Technology and just social media platforms are amazing. You know, the way they're able to mm-hmm. connect people and get people that are of like-mindedness together. Because, you know, for me, my page is about the banter, the back and forth. But, you know, don't take nothing serious. I don't want that type of page. But I also mm-hmm. want to be able mm-hmm. to give a spotlight to, you know, those spaces and places that are doing great things for women's sports and the support around that. So just making sure that I'm continuing to try to produce content and find stuff to talk about. That interests people. And right now, you know, women's college sports is it for me. So women's hoops,
yeah,
especially going into March. So I'm looking forward to the tourney and being able to cover all of this stuff.
Yeah. I want to listen today. The way you talk, I want to listen today. I want you to drop something right now. And when we see my thing has been just organic conversation. I don't script nothing. I don't have nothing written beside me to ask you about. Mm-hmm. What I do is I ask people, like, before we go live or something, that which I didn't ask you, which I should ask you, what's off limits? You know what I'm saying? What don't you want to talk about?
Nothing is off limits. I mean, this is it. Like, I'm in this space. I would find a dignified way to answer every question. I also realized that one of our biggest responsibilities and one of my other passions besides this is just like the youth. And so mm-hmm. what I want to be able to do is give back these expensive lessons that I didn't pay for some mm-hmm. lessons. So whenever I get a chance to just say, hey, you know, this is what it was. Cause I had somebody tell me that the game ain't nothing, but you know, good advice means everything. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So if I get a chance to be able to give somebody that back, I want to be able to, you know, I got stars, stripes, you know, and scars, you know what I mean? So, mm-hmm. whatever I can do to be able to help the next generation, you know, because I don't know that we left the world in the best position, you know what I mean, when we handed it off to them. So now being able to try to reach back and make that stuff right, too, is important to me. So, yeah, nothing's off limits.
You talking something that's up my alley, too. over the years, I've worked in group homes. I've worked in.
Oh, dope. Okay.
I've worked for Sacramento City School District in eighth and ninth grade students. You know, just trying to mentor a little bit and try to put people on the right path. And just try to share some of these tools with them that they're gonna need walking through this life that they don't even know that they taking on. Just it's a lot of them that are blinded by the fact that it's gonna be on you, whatever it is that you do.
Yeah,
it's gonna be on you. And so,
but I'm also on the other end of that saying, hey, give these kids some space and grace, because they walking in the lane that we didn't walk in at that age. They dealing with some stuff that we didn't necessarily have to deal with, depending on, you know, where you were at. You know what I mean? I was, but I didn't have to put a friend on a t-shirt no time as a kid, you know what I mean? So to live through a pandemic and all the different stuff that they'd have been through, is just like, don't give up on them so easy. It's something in there. Yeah. You gotta meet them where they at and then help them get it out. So definitely passionate there. So looking to be able to work with the youth. Even though I got a brunch that I do out here called Fuck Them Kids, it's only because I love them so much. But I also want to be able to remind the parents that the ones that's working so hard and out here grinding for their kids and putting on and being mothers and fathers, that mm-hmm. sometimes it's okay to be like, fuck them kids and do it for yourself one time. So, you mm-hmm. know, get out there and also treat themselves. So of just being able to find that balance. But you know, wherever I can help, wherever I can offer.
Because I got stories. I got stories. I used to partner. I worked with this company that I still work with now, but I work in a different division. But I used to work with, they partnered with CPS, and they try to help families that mothers and fathers have drug problems. They try to help them before they have to go to court and do all of that stuff. They try to put them in this program and get them straight. And then after they finish the program, if they finish it successfully, they don't have to go to the court side, so to speak. They don't have to go to the in front of that and have that formal case on their record. I did that for about 6 months, but what I noticed and what by that is you know, that system needs some reform. You know what I'm saying?
How you doing all of that stuff without taking it home with you every day? That's a lot to see every day.
But you know, and the reason why I got trained, I was trained back in 2000, I would say 2000, 2001, when I moved here to Sacramento, I worked with mental health, the mental health population heavy. And so I used to take it home back then. I don't now, because I know how to compartmentalize. I don't take it home with me no more, because I know what to do with it. I've been trained to understand what to do with that.
That's cool.
Yeah, if I didn't have the training, I wouldn't be able to stomach a lot of this stuff that I've been seeing in this funny acting type of world that's called mental health and it's just stuff like that. So kids that have less than what we had and had less than what I had, and growing up in situations where they have to make decisions as a kid, make an adult decision as a kid. I've seen all of that. But the thing that keeps me going in it is they are willing to learn if you can meet them at their level.
Ain't that the best part of it? Like, and my other thing is like, As I make connections with kids, you know, for them to always know if you call, I'm coming, right? So to be able to continue to show up is so important for them. But once they know you'll show up, they'll show up. And then they kind of, that wall comes down, and you can kind of really get into what it is they like and where it is they want to go, and really help develop them. So I definitely understand what you mean in that. And that's just something that I don't know why kids seem to just gravitate to me. I don't even got no kids, but every time I look up, everybody auntie, you know what I mean? So just really trying to, you know, show up and just be that ear, you know what I mean? I think it's really important for him right now. So
being a father that I am still, but of young kids for a number of years, really pointed my head in that direction. You know, we can't give up on kids just because they're doing something that maybe we don't understand, or they are in a situation where they are asking for help but don't know how to do that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's so much stuff that like you say, that we didn't have to go through, that they're going through right now. So we have to be I think we just have to be patient and just try to, because I was working at this children's receiving home. I was a security guard there. And all these kids that were coming into this receiving home, they didn't know how to express themselves like we're talking right now with regular language. They had the foulest language in the you know, you think you're looking at a foul comedian or something just coming up. and so when I realized that, I became more patient with them and tried to, you know, okay, well, look, why don't you say that more like this instead of like that? Mr. Claiborne, I think I can do that. Okay, well, because if you're talking to me with all of that, I'm gonna think that you want to, you know, you want to do something else other than what you're trying to do, and that's not good. And so I used to go through the whole circle with them, and that taught me. That just taught me a lesson. You know, some people, you know, they don't know how to express themselves in a way that people can understand. They just know how to do what they do. So, and they've been out there. So,
but when you get a chance to see them receive it and then put it to use, right? And you see them go from all of that foul language to being able to express themselves. But and also too, you know, code switch. I know who you are. I know who you are with your friends, and I know who you're gonna be. You 16, 17, so I know what that looks like, but this is how you show up in these situations. And be able to see them, be able to do those things is is pretty dope. So I definitely get where you're coming from.
And so I have another story for you. My daughter, my youngest daughter, 25 years old. She was in high school and she was trying to find herself and her voice and her and who she is. And so she ended up not liking boys, but like women. And she ended up being her coming out, being her true self. Now, the reason why I'm saying that is because she thought that I was going to be like one of those cats to be like, man, you know, one forcing you out or shunning you or anything like that. But I wasn't like that. I was to the other opposite of this spectrum where I wanted to understand and learn about what it is you're feeling and what you're going through so that I can best help you anywhere that I can.
Now, I say this to you. I'm going to say this to you. Without you telling me that, I already knew that just from watching your Facebook. And I watched you do it just beautifully through pictures, right? Just not even knowing what's going on. I could just see the way you was handling it. And I was just like, wow, for me to be in that situation. And I came up with parents who knew, but they didn't talk about it, right? It's just a different kind of era. Like, is your friend coming? You know what I mean? Like, shun, but is your friend coming by? You know, so it's different. So to see now, you know what I'm saying, that we at a point where, you know, parents are having that conversation with their kids and being supportive and showing up and knowing how to be allies. I just think for my parents, they didn't know how. It was what do you do with that? You know, but also for me to understand it, it's not that to get to a point where it was just like, wow, it's not that they don't love me. It's not that they shunning me. It's just that they don't know what to do with it. It's past them. It was a beautiful thing to just watch. You know, I can see it in the pictures, you know what I'm saying? Just in what you shared over Facebook. So to hear you talk about it for sure.
I try to talk about it as much as I can because I think people should understand how comfortable they could be still with the situation. I mean, it's not like she out there killing people or she out there doing anything wrong to folks. It's not like that. To me, I think everything that you as a parent you teach your kids is everything that you teach your kids you have to stand on.
You have to stand on it. Absolutely.
And I've always taught her how to respect people and respect people's opinion. You don't gotta like it, but you should respect it and form your own opinion about it and just leave it like that because folks, it don't matter what people do. It matters how your character and how your integrity is and we good.
What age did your daughter make that decision?
I think it was around 10th or 11th.
I shouldn't say decision because like I feel like I was born this way. So it wasn't like something traumatic happened and I made a decision. I feel like I was born this way. But when I say like decision, I mean to like come out to have that discussion about it.
She didn't want to do it with me. She did it with her mother first. Okay. And so the consensus was you don't have to tell your father until you're ready to do that. But I already knew because of mannerism.
Because you're the parent.
I've been there from day one. So I already.
Because you're the parent, exactly, yeah. exactly. Can't hide it from you. You dad, yeah. right? So yeah. I get that. Yeah. But
and so we just one of the really things having, that I... we start oh, go really ahead. Having serious. We start really having serious conversations around 11th and 12th grade. We start having serious conversations about it, which I told her that I very much appreciate her being comfortable enough to talk to me about it. You know, like when you teaching her how to drive, you know, we'd have this conversation. When I take her to school, we have certain conversations. When you know, we just me and her, we'd have certain conversations.
Daddy daughter time.
Yeah. So that was refreshing, and so it prepared me to deal with clients that I may have today that identify in a certain way. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because everybody don't identify in the same with the same.
Yeah, you gotta ask pronouns and it's gotten real complicated and stuff now. And I just I think if you just for me it's about respecting the person. because I feel like sometimes my community can put people in a catch 22 in a sense like they call I'm not in the labels. I told you I'm your auntie with Uncle Tendencies, but they would call me a stud, right?
I love it.
So they would call me a stud. So somebody may be like, "What's up, dude?" And you may have some studs be like, "I ain't no dude." And then you got that's how you presenting. And then you got some and you like, "Hey girl, how you know? I ain't no girl." And it's like, well, I don't know what to do. Put it on your shirt. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes when us trying to be as comfortable in our skin as we want to be, we put other people in a catch 22 or kind of catch them off guard because they really don't know what to do. And we need to have a little bit more space and grace sometimes in how we respond to that. But also, I'm starting to get concerned at how young kids are determining that they gay or straight. I think getting at an age now where we need to just let them kind of be kids in the fifth grade, first grade, and second grade, and then have those conversations later. So I don't know if it's we need to be a little bit more responsible with it, but
I think it's a way that we parent. You know what I'm saying? I think it's a way that you have to parent from a place of non-judgmental. You got to parent from a place of understanding, and you can't. There's no longer that I don't want to scare my kids. That's why I was always to be. I don't want to scare you into thinking the way that I think. I want you to think the way you think. But I also want you to be fair in that. Let's be a kid first. That's all. That used to be my speech at that time. Let's be a kid first. Do kid things. Be a kid as long as you can be a kid, and then when you move in and you progress, and I guarantee you're gonna get more older and more mature, and then you're gonna be able to make an assumption, and you're gonna be able to make a choice at that particular point in time when it's necessary to make that choice. Right now, you can't make no choices like that in your life. That's how
I used to. I just want you to be a kid, but I just think sometimes with the media and marketing, especially as I don't know, to me it seemed like they trying to gay is kind of becoming like popular. I don't know, in marketing, right? It's showing up in commercials in places where it's just like, well, that was odd. It didn't fit right there, like so.
Yeah,
I just want to make sure that we being as responsible as we can, because as much as I want to be comfortable in my own skin, I also want to make sure that I'm sensitive to kids and letting kids be kids and seeing and learning those things when, and having those, letting those, make sure their parents get to have those conversations with them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. But see that therein lies the work, and therein lies the being a parent to have these different conversations in a way that everybody is respected. I'm still big on just respect, period. If we're going to do this, if we're going to have this conversation, it's going to go back and forth, but we're not going to disrespect each other.
Right. It's never a need for any disrespect at all. I mean, it's just a conversation.
Yeah. We just having a conversation. So I used to do a lot of things, in the way of parenting that other people didn't do. Cause I was a parent, and I was a parent early with three children, and two of them, and I'm just gonna say this, two of them wasn't really mine, they were somebody else's, but we found a way. We had a family together at the time, me and my daughter's mother, and so everybody got it the same.
That's how it's supposed to be. Now if we all together, we all together. That's what it is. Now it ain't we're not splitting nobody up. I definitely agree with that. But and then also too, I think we get a bad rap. Well, my community gets a bad rap because they think because I'm gay, I don't support traditional family, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not a non-supporter traditional family. I'm traditional family first, right? Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, I don't know. It's just a lot of that, and that's another reason I think that I just wanted to be able to kind of have a voice and kind of start to get my brand out there, to be able to kind of dispel some of the stuff that's going on, like. About my community and all of that stuff. Just have a platform to say, hey, we don't really feel like that. We're not that mad at Dave Chappelle. We go to Dave Chappelle show. If you was mad at Dave Chappelle, then you don't like Dave Chappelle. It doesn't have nothing to do with what you're trying to make it about, right? We're so sensitive and politically correct that you can get canceled so quick right now. I get it, but I just got to be me. And I'm just, you know, that's, I think that's what the platform for me is about.
Yeah. And that was one of the reasons why I started talking with OC, was to be able to get my own opinion on different things, or get my own spin out there and talk and have these organic conversations how I see fit. You know what I'm saying? Because you can't really go to a regular media outlet and say the stuff that we be saying on, that we going to say in the space that we have. You can't do it. And so,
but I think that I think the way that people react to you, they saying that that's what people really want. It ain't so much probably what y'all even really showing us on TV. We've moved past that, and the talking with OCs and the organic conversations and the realism is what's drawing the people in.
Yeah. So I that's why, that's one of the reasons why when I seen what you said, your slogan, I was like, man, I want her on my show. I want to bring her on. because she understands what this space is supposed to be about. It's truth. It's pure truth. You really can't, and nowadays in life, you really can't, because people fact checking all the time. You can't really sit up here and talk about how you was this, that, and the other. Somebody, if you weren't, somebody gonna be there to refute that and say no.
Oh yeah, nah. I you know, listen, good, bad, ugly, and different. You know what I'm saying? This stuff in my closet that I don't never want to talk about. I'm, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, that's just what it is, right? If everybody honest.
Yeah,
it's everybody's honest. It's something back there for everybody, right? Just like I don't think nobody's all liberal, and I don't think nobody's all conservative. I think, you know, if we all, if we honest, we all really are more kind of independent thinking than that. So being able to just have that space, like, you know, give life a break and let's get back to just being real sometime.
Yeah. And that's all I ever want when I have a conversation or come in contact with people. Like I tell everybody in my classes every day, you know, you the first thing is to do is you have to really understand what you into, understand what you're doing, and then just move from there and go on from there. Once you understand that, things fall into place and they fall into line, and it's all good. It's all good. I see you got on the Beast Mode brand.
Yeah, Beast Mode is this guy right here is one of my favorite human beings.
Yeah.
Right? Because he did it his own way. He spent he was like, they wanted him to talk so bad, and he was just like, I'm here so I won't get fined. And now he's everywhere because he wouldn't say anything, because he wouldn't conform, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what I think is so dope. Like, people because think that you have to conform.
Because it wasn't authentic. What they wanted, how they wanted him to talk and how they wanted him to be, it wasn't authentic. And so now that he's away from the game, he's able to be Beast Mode. He's able to be Marshawn. He's able to do what it is he do. And everybody, like, I look at Snoop Dogg and be like, man, this cat, he been smoking weed for years. I mean, for his whole career. And the stuff that he does, the stuff that he pitches, he's still Snoop Dogg. I mean,
I looked up and Snoop was in Skechers. I said, man, what's that? I looked up and Snoop was riding in the Skecher. You hear me?
He got cereal.
I mean, he's doing his thing. I mean, I think, and we forget, like, Snoop has signed with, like, AOL.
Yeah.
Like, back in the day. Like, he was making these, people was trying to let the weed in for a long time. And that's another thing about my page is my passion for cannabis is, like, I might light my blunt at any time in the show, but I'm not really going to talk about it because it should be as social as cracking a beer. If it's legal and we adults, that's what it is. I don't need you to do a double take. I don't need none of that. Just like I'm drinking a glass of wine. Let's keep it moving.
So no, I love it. It's real. It's authentic.
And that's what I'm finding out that people want. They want the authenticity. That's what and that's what I think this new media is about. Like, you talked about the pivot. You got Club Shay Shay. What Shannon did with the Cat Williams interview is just ridiculous. Like, 54 million. I'm waking up every day.
Let him go. That's why you had him on there. Let him go.
That's the type of interview you want.
Yeah.
That's the one you want. But regardless,
I don't care what he said. It was entertaining. All of it was entertainment to me. But
yeah, it was just, and that's it. It was a conversation.
Mm-hmm. He let him go. I love that. He let him do what he's supposed to do.
He lost control of the interview very quickly. It was not like any other visit to Club Shay Shay, but it was a good time.
Yeah, they had some of that. They had some of that cognac. They had some of that Shay Shay cognac.
I might have to order some the Le Portier.
Yeah, I love the entertainment because I don't know none of those guys that he's talking about like personally. You know him from stand up. You know him from doing their thing like that, but you don't know nobody personally like that. So I didn't really take offense to nothing he was saying, even if he was true about what he was saying. It don't really mean nothing. Everybody's still rich at the end of the day.
Exactly. And everybody got some likes. Everybody got some hits. Everybody's show that was up someplace got rewatched. Like, it's a good day for comedy. Yeah. Everybody made some money.
Yeah, everybody.
Everybody went looking for something. So, you know, it was good and bad.
Yeah, I loved it, but see that those type of conversations are like golden gems for everybody that's in this space, because a lot of people that's in this space, that's what they do. They go take these stories and they report on them, like, and they tell their opinion. They do a lot of. I've noticed that. I've been watching a lot of YouTube since I got on here, since I started doing my show. I've been watching other people's shows and trying to. Mm-hmm. See what they
I mean, and I do some of that with some of the sports stuff. Like, I'm giving my opinion on the upcoming games and some of the players, and I'm getting some of the "you an idiot" and all of that stuff back. And that's the fun part of it. Like, I'm getting up under your skin. This is all subjective. There's no right or wrong answer, but you know, absolutely. I think I've been a debater forever, so this is it's just fun. It's something to do, but I would love to do it forever, but as a career.
So who you got in the Baltimore Chiefs game? Who you got in that game?
Man, I should have wore my better than a running back shirt. I'm going Ravens. Listen, I've been watching. So I was living in Louisville when Lamar was playing at Louisville. So I've been watching Lamar since then. This is a treat for me. This is a treat for me to see him finally grow up and for people to be able to see who he is and be able to see this greatness. I don't think people realize, like, and nothing. I'm not taking nothing away from the 49ers and Brock Purdy and all of them. You know, they had a great season. I think the addition of Chase Young could surprise people. I was surprised that people let that go off so quickly and quietly. Mm-hmm. That they let Chase and Bosa get back together on that line, but. I think this Lamar year. Mm-hmm. So my pick is and then since I got to Detroit, I've been telling all the Detroiters the Lions not trash. And all they kept saying to me was live here long enough. They gonna break your heart too. You gonna find out. Dan Campbell got to town and he got to talking about biting off kneecaps. They start drinking the Kool-Aid. And it's been a fun ride. So I want the Ravens and the Lions in the Super Bowl, and that would be the dopest for me. I could live with either one of them winning, but I want this year for Lamar. If I'm being honest, as long as the Lions been waiting, they got a team now. They got a playoff win. I can see them being back here again next year. So this year I really want it for Lamar, because and that's not taking nothing away from Patrick Mahomes. I'm just not a big Mahomes fan. I'm a Lamar fan. He played more of a style that I like. But the comparison all the time. the comparison all the time. So, you know, he's the unanimous MVP. You know what I mean? Like, when you look at Lamar's record and
who he's beat.
Who he's beat, but he's also almost like a 60 or 70% win percentage, like, just since he came into the league. Like,
That's what I'm saying.
Like, this dude is a winner when he's not hurt. Yeah. So give him his respect. Like, I don't know if it's they don't like his hairstyle or what. They don't like his mom being his agent. It might be a little bit of both, but he's doing it his way. That's what it is. Like the most he's doing it his way.
Yeah, they don't like nothing about what he's doing, how he's doing it. They don't
But he keeps doing it his way. He keeps showing up. The more that they don't like him doing it his way, the more he do it his way. Like,
his way, yeah.
It seemed like he thrives on that. So I really wanted for him this year, and just them young Ravens. They've been playing this year. This is even with the injuries. So I got to hats off to Harbaugh and his coaching staff, because every time I'm like, oh man, this is gonna kill us. This like next man up.
And here come his brother.
Oh yeah, he coming and he's on his way back. Khaki Pants got something to prove.
Yeah,
but it's been a great year for just It's been a great year for Michigan, though. Like the Lions and Michigan being national champions, the Lions in the playoffs. I most people I talk to ain't seen that in their lifetime.
Yeah,
I'm sorry for the Pistons, though. I'm sorry for the Pistons.
Well, the Pistons had I think the Pistons had two of the sweetest NBA championships won back to back ever to have won in the league. That's my opinion. I get flack for that, but when Isaiah Thomas and Laimbeer when they went back to back, those were I didn't that wasn't my team, but I respect greatness. They're the only ones that beat the GOAT.
I was coming out of Michigan on my way to California, so I love the Bad Boys that era.
Yeah.
They could have been a three-peat.
Yeah.
People don't realize they could have been a three-peat. But you look at Isaiah, they don't give Isaiah no love. Isaiah beat Michael and Magic and Bird and Dr. J. Gotta put some respect on his name. I mean, Zeke. They don't like to. But the truth of the matter is, I'm glad Isaiah finally said, like, Michael wasn't his competition. Like, he was already a made man. Michael had to go through him. People be like, well, no. I was with Magic and Bird. And I love Michael. Michael's my favorite, but Isaiah, you gotta give him his due.
And that's truth. If people don't talk about that, but that's truth. He the only one that his team is the only one that beat them like they beat them. Of course, go ahead.
I was gonna say they try to say that the Jordan rules helped them and they was just thugs and all of that. But if you go back and watch them games, it was some real ballers. Yeah. Like to me, Dumars and Isaiah rival like. Clay and Steph, like you don't see that type of
backcourt. That was a tougher backcourt. And that's why I say those were the sweetest championships ever won, because they got beat by the Boston Celtics on an Isaiah turnover. And they had to go the whole offseason wondering if they can win it, and then they came back and won two of them. That was just the ultimate. That was the ultimate for me. That whole era was me. That's when I started.
I've been watching so many Isaiah documentaries. He been on everybody. I think he's been on the Pivot. He been on everybody podcast. He been really dropping some jewels. I didn't realize just how much impact he had on history. You know what I mean? Yeah. He was really just an advocate. By nature, some of the things that he was able to implement and some of the stuff that he talks about that he was able to do in Detroit, how he went to Toronto. People don't give him credit, but like he went to Toronto and it was nothing there, and then he built a
franchise.
He built a franchise and a program and what that was going to look like. And to hear him talk about that, it was like, damn, Zeke, I didn't even think about it like that, but you went there and planted the flag and did all of that. So,
and that's
definitely
that's
what
all of these conversations that people be having about the GOAT and about who this and who that and all of that. It's so subjective. It's only for as far as you can see, because it's kids today that'll tell you that Paul George is a GOAT. We all know that. We all know that that's not true, but that's that fan's perspective. That's their view. Somebody like myself that go back as far as the 80s, early 80s. I look at teams different. I look at teams different. And then somebody that go back further than that, they gonna look at it even more different, because they had other people to look up to. So it's really an era by era thing.
Oh yeah, I tell them I start my best of. From the 80s up, and everybody before that, they was the founding father. So Wilt's not in my top five. Bill's not in my top. I didn't see them, but I understand their greatness. But they the founding fathers, and I leave them where they go. Everything from the 80s up, let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's be real about that.
And I tell people all the time too. A lot with me is it's hard overhead. A lot of times, if it was all just statistics, we would all have the same top five. If it was all just about statistics, so
it's not. It's so many different parts and moving parts in that. that's for me. That's what happens for me. Mm-hmm. But this is Talking with OC, and I'm your host OC. I got a wonderful guest on. You know what I'm saying? Y'all probably know y'all gonna be seeing her in this space. Y'all gonna be seeing her in this space, and that's what I'm very proud to be a supporter.
My first interview was Talking with OC. So this is it right here. This is where it start. So I appreciate you having me on, and I love what you do. Like I said, I've been watching you grow your brand, and you're an inspiration. So I appreciate
Thank you. Another woman, Noveen. Her name is Noveen. She got Noveen TV. She had me on her podcast. And
why does that name sound familiar?
Because her sister is Latifah.
For sure.
Yeah,
I went to school with Tifa. I went to school. Tifa was there in 93,
92, 93, 94, 93. Mm-hmm.
I don't think 94.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
93. Yep. And so I went on her podcast, and she welcomed me, and then she came over here and got on mine. And so it's like, you know, that's how we do it. If I can offer anything, if you need anything, if you need some advice, or if you need anything.
I hear him telling me this. I'm going to run the tape when I call him.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm an open book, and it's free. You know what I'm saying? It's free.
I'm gonna have to have you on the show to talk to Ravens. We gonna have you come talk sports. We're gonna get you on the live. So I seen
Lamar on a Monday night in LA when the Rams played at when the stadium was being built, and they played at the Coliseum where USC played, and mm-hmm. I didn't believe that he was that fast until I seen it up.
It's different. Close. It's different in person. It's different.
When I seen it up close, it looked like he was just jogging, but them defensive linemen couldn't catch him. I was like, he right there in front of you. He right there in front of you. Grab him.
Get him. And it was like, they run as fast as they can, and they're not going to get him.
Yeah.
It's really like a video game.
Needless to say, they blew the Rams out on Monday night, and I was there with my Ravens gear on and all of that type of stuff. But I've been liking the Ravens ever since they moved from Cleveland to Baltimore. That's when I became a fan, because I used to use them in the Madden games we had in the Crest.
It's nothing like Ed Reed and Ray Lewis and Madden. That's gonna get you right there. That starts it off.
Yeah.
Now that's a throwback right there. The Ravens is one of those organizations you just have to respect. They had Ozzie in there, and it was just good to see how they continue to take care of their players. Art and especially Modell. To me, they take care of players that don't fit in other organizations. This throwaways, and it's like, y'all threw this away? Wow, because they got the Baltimore, and they is a shiny new toy.
Thank you. Thank you. That's how they be. That is exactly how they be. But my daughter is a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and we that's our thing. We probably go next year to division. I want to go to a division game. I want to go see a division game. The Pittsburgh Steelers and Baltimore Ravens. Yeah,
that'll be fun. Mm-hmm. I think the last game I went to was the Niners Lions. Here. That was my first time at Ford Field. And then the last basketball game I went to. Yeah.
You've been to Ford Field?
I've been to Ford Field, and I've been to Little Caesars Arena. Little Caesars Arena is really, really nice. My homeboy say it got more of a hockey feel. But the love for the Pistons is just not here, man. Big Three, Ice Cube put more people in Little Caesars Arena than the Pistons did that year. So
they're not at the Palace no more?
No, they knocked the Palace down. I got a chance to go to the Palace right before they knocked it down. So that was like the last time the Pistons was really almost trying to make a run for the playoffs, but they missed it.
Yeah.
That was like 15-16. The last basketball game I went to was first game of the finals for the Warriors in Chase. We lost that game, but I was home for graduation, and it was like, I'm not going back to work. This is a once in a lifetime opportunity right here. This is meant to be. If they win this game, I'm staying, and we're gonna figure life out from here. So that was awesome. Chase, the Chase Center is wow. That's quite a facility right there. And if I can get a job with the Warriors women's team that's coming in 25, I'll come home for that. Cause
that's what my daughter trying to do. She's trying to do sports medicine.
Oh yeah. And then it was funny because they already got like the application up. Like if you're interested in working, go ahead and send your resume in. They doing some real big things around that. And I'm not surprised that it's in San Francisco. I'm not surprised that it's in San Francisco. And I like what Steph's doing. I think Steph's been doing a lot of stuff around women's hoops. I'm just excited. I wish Detroit would get a team back. But
what were they playing?
I don't know.
It's gonna happen.
Because they had the Detroit Shock here. Detroit Shock, Glenn Beeren won some championships here. So that's the one thing about the league that disappointed me. The teams that folded has some good, great history, like the Shock, the Comets. Mm-hmm. Like it's almost like they don't exist no more. Like some of these girls don't know who Cheryl Swoops is, and that's
crime. You got to do your research. You got to go back and you got to look. And you gotta make sure you know who you're talking about. Tina Thompson, huh?
They don't know who Cynthia Cooper is.
They don't know.
You say some names. They like, I mean, Diana Taurasi and Candace and Asia Wilson. I think Asia Wilson's the best player in the world right now. When you're talking about pro women, and I love what the Las Vegas Aces are doing. It's some ladies from not so far back in the day that. Are walking legends, living legends that aren't in the game really. So,
yeah,
I hope to be able to break, do some stories on them too.
And you will. You just got to keep going in your space, in your lane, and doing what you do. I have my father's turning 69, and we finna have this birthday party for him. And I got to meet with my two sisters to go over the specifics. Hopefully I can have you back on after the games on Saturday. We can probably do something next week and talk about what's going on.
Let's do it. If the Ravens make the playoffs, talking with OC, got to be on. You got to give me a little bit live, 5-10 minutes, something. You got to come on the live if the Ravens make the playoffs. I ain't gonna bother you the whole game because I want you to be able to enjoy it because you earned it.
But you got to
give me a few minutes at least.
Oh, I got you. I'm gonna come on. Just hit my you got my number, hit my number. Let me know when we're ready and we'll do it. We'll do it. I appreciate you coming on.
Let me know when you're ready for next week, man. I appreciate you having me.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, this is Talking With OC. I'm your host, OC. Yeah, I just had a big conversation with a new media space personality. Her show is sports, but she still talk about all kind of stuff. So we was able to get on my show and talk about some of the things other than sports. And we talked about sports, too. And we had a great, 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 great conversation. So if you are listening to this episode, it's a good episode. I believe it's a good episode. So like it, rate it, leave a message, do whatever you got to do on any platform that you're listening to it to on. It's Talking With OC. I'm your host, OC. You can get the podcast on many outlets, on all the podcast outlets. Just type in Talking With OC and it'll come up. You'll see my logo, and then you just go ahead and do what you do. Hit the like, subscribe, do anything like that. It's also on YouTube. I got some video footage up on the YouTube. That's %535OUTSAM. %535OUTSAM. That's my YouTube channel. It's all posted over the Facebook and all over the Instagram as well. So this is a great time. I'm moving into other things with the podcast. So if you want to support, feel free to do so on any of those podcast outlets. But talkingwithoc.com is a great way to get the podcast. But the other ones give you video, like the YouTube and the anchor.fm gives you YouTube. Spotify gives you
video. That's what I'm saying, not YouTube, but it gives you video. So we got new video footage coming. So this is new to me. So I'm stumbling over my words a little bit, but just talking with OC. I'm your host, OC, and I'm gonna get out of here. And so y'all can just go ahead and listen to the shows and just keep supporting. I appreciate it. And remember, love everybody that love you, and continue to be the best person you could be. All right. Peace.